Stranded But Not Alone by DPP Newfrost. Pre-flight, night before trip. It may be a dumb idea, but I'm excited about trying this journaling thing again. I mean, I always love to write, so why not try once more? This time, however, it will begin with my little tropical adventure, and I'm so excited. My flight leaves in the morning, but I can't sleep. I was going to save this for the first day, but I couldn't resist cracking into it now. I hope the next entry I write will be from my beautiful destination. Day 3. I don't know how any of this happened, but I figure someday people might find this, and when they do, I want them to know. I was asleep on the plane when violent turbulence woke me up. The whole plane was shaking and people started to scream. Those masks fell down from above and I strapped mine on. There was a loud bang. And that's the last thing I really remember on board the plane. Sometime after, I woke up on a beach. I coughed up a lot of water. There was wreckage and debris all around me, but I didn't see any other people. I wasn't hurt, as far as I could tell. I know I was lucky to be alive, but I still cried for a long time on the beach. I waited there, sitting on a rock, but no one came. I took shelter under a tree and slept there the first night. For the last 2 days, I've walked along the beach, getting farther and farther from where I washed ashore, searching for others or any signs of people that were on my flight. So far, there's nothing. Day 5. The good news is I don't think I'll die of hunger or thirst on this island. It's not a small place. I'm no good at figuring out sizes or dimensions or whatever, but I know in the last few days I've walked around the entire thing. It seems pretty big to me, but who knows? Around the island are yellow and white sandy beaches. It's funny. It looks like the photos of the place I was supposed to go. And here I am. The interior is a leafy, dense jungle. The plants are quite beautiful. While going around on the island, I found a little stream that flows down from the central hill. It rains a lot, but usually just for a bit before the clouds blow over. There are plenty of fruit trees, coconuts, fish, and crabs. I've no idea how to catch a fish, but desperation is the mother of invention, right? Day 10. The greatest thing happened to me today. It's hard to put into words how excited I am about this. I found someone else. I moved my camp from where I was washed ashore to near the stream. I figured I need to keep a source of ready-to-drink water at hand at all times. It gets really hot during the peak of the day, so I usually take it easy under the shade of the trees there. It was getting towards sundown, and I went out near the ocean. Lost in thought and looking along the beach line, I barely noticed a silhouette. I started screaming and jumping and waving, and he turned and spotted me immediately. Before I knew what I was doing, I was running at full speed towards him. I gripped him tightly in my arms, though they didn't go all the way around him. And I also cried in his chest like a baby. When I calmed down, I introduced myself properly, and he did too. He told me he had been looking for people since the crash and had explored through the jungle as well. It seems we just missed each other a couple of times. I took him back to the camp and we talked until it was very late. Day 17. After the initial euphoria of finding each other, my fellow castaway and I have made plans. Now that we've been here for 2.5 weeks and no rescue has come, we have to face settling down for the long term. Or we at least agreed to make some basic decisions on how to be more comfortable in the meantime. I'm lucky. He used to camp, so he has some basic ideas. He always laughs a little and says he's no expert, but he seems to know what he's doing. It felt really good when he said my choice of camp was a good one and suggested we stay where I picked. Glad to know I'm not totally hopeless when it comes to survival. I'm so grateful to have him here with me. Afraid I'd lose my mind without him. Day 21. We haven't seen a rescue plane or a boat or anything. Today, after I finished my chores, it really got me down. I thought about my home, about my family, about my friends, my job. I even thought about my asshole neighbor who always glares at me on garbage day. I might never see any of them again. It was too much. He found me crying my eyes out in the shelter we built together. It's a simple place with a floor just big enough for us both to lay down. He hurried in, worried I was hurt. Sort of wish I had been. I'm a little embarrassed about it now. As soon as he touched me, I clung to him and cried against his chest. I tried talking, but I'm sure he couldn't understand me. He just hushed me and calmed me down. When I was more settled down, he got me some cool water and led me to the beach. It was just sundown. The island is beautiful, I can't deny that, even if it's my prison now. Together we watched the sun slowly disappear over the horizon. Everything will be fine, he said. He squeezed my shoulder and it felt true. Day 28. The sky was crystal clear tonight. After we ate, we went out to see the stars. The sky was on fire with light. Millions, billions of stars glowed all around us. I felt small in that moment, like we were the only two people in the world under an infinite sky. I don't know how we ever let lights take it away from us. He asked if I recognized any constellations. I said no. I had never bothered to learn and everything was unfamiliar. He said that it made sense. We are in a different hemisphere, so everything looks different. He pointed out a few of the ones he knew. Then we named our own. It was amazing. I wonder if at the beginning, when people first looked up at the night sky, if they did something similar. Day 34. One of the problems with living on the island is that things can get boring. Each morning, he and I do our chores, and we usually take a break when it gets too hot. We collect food, rinse, and repeat, basically. My fellow survivor and I spend a lot of our downtime talking. He's quieter than me, but he's so engaging. He listens quietly and has these thoughtful little remarks or questions to ask. There are simple pleasures, though. We bathe at this gorgeous little pool near our camp. Separately, of course. Because we have privacy there, it's a good place to indulge in certain needs. The cool water feels good on my skin, and I can't help but feel good moving naked through the water. I touch myself there, and in the beauty of the forest and purity of the water, I feel like I really let go. I hope he hasn't ever heard me. Sometimes it's hard to keep quiet, and I wonder if he's ever spied on me. I hope not. I mean, that would be inappropriate. Day 37. Last night we were talking about how we were sick of eating fruit, coconuts, and crabs. Little pinchers don't have much meat, but they're plentiful and pretty easy to catch. He returns each day with a few for us to cook and eat. Even still, though, it's getting really repetitive. This morning after we did the basics, he announced that we were going to the beach. He showed me something he'd been working on. From bits of metal, he fashioned hooks. He used leftover crab meat to be bait. Then he showed me his spear. He told me he couldn't promise anything. He smiled and it looked nice beaming through the short beard he had grown since we crashed. The tide was out and some little fish got stuck in a tidal pool. He perched himself on a rock, his shirt off, and got ready. I sat on the beach in a bikini I found from washed up luggage. He caught my attention and swirled the spear around like a ninja. It made me laugh. For a moment, I felt like I was on my permanently delayed vacation. I could have been taking a break from visiting tourist traps to appreciate an easy day on the beach watching a local fisherman and his craft. I watched as he tried, I shouted encouragement now and then. Finally, he drew his arm back and struck. He cried out. I got up and he held the spear aloft with a single fish on it. He screamed and cheered, and I got up and rushed over to him. It was about the size of my hand, but it didn't matter. It was a small victory, a win. He hugged me, lifting me off the ground, caught up in the moment. No fish dinner I have ever had came close to tasting so good, or I bet ever will again. Day 42. A big storm rolled in from the ocean. It was sort of amazing. Without city lights or towering buildings, it felt like we were trapped beneath an angry sky. Watching it unfold made it so obvious how our ancestors dreamed up gods in the sky roaring angrily. After a time, we hurried back to our shelter. We hunkered down to ride it out. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was holding on to him. He was fast asleep. It was cool from the rain, so maybe I sought him out for some heat. I felt so embarrassed and I hoped he didn't notice me there. I don't want to give him the wrong idea. I quickly moved back to my spot and tried to go back to sleep. Day 46. Tonight over dinner, we were talking about anything and everything. I brought up the weight I've lost. He asked if I was worried about it. I told him no. I mean, on a positive note, I had a few stubborn pounds that I was never quite able to shed disappear. We were eating pretty healthy now, so it's not that we were starving or anything like that. A little fish to the diet has made it more enjoyable. I'm trying new things with what ingredients we have. We joked about him finding a way to spare a bottle of beer, though. Then my mouth went off before my brain could stop it, though. I told him he looked different, too. He laughed and poked at himself, saying his beer belly was gone. Which it mostly was. And I said something like, "You look way stronger. Like the muscles in your arms and shoulders." He blushed and looked down at his food. He made a joke so I didn't feel bad. "It's this stranded on an island plan I'm on." I laughed, but I felt so awkward. We said if we get back home, we'll publish the book and make a killing. His eyes caught the firelight. He has nice eyes. Day 50. Last night I woke up feeling better than I have in a long time. I was so warm and I felt safe and comfortable I could have purred. That's when I realized why. In the middle of the night, he had done the same thing I had done not so long ago. His arm was around me and he spooned me from behind. Our bodies were pressed together tightly. His smell was all around me. It was that strong masculine scent. The smell of sweat and work. The smell that would sometimes cause me to fantasize at the gym. I tentatively reached up to feel his warm skin and the taut muscles under it. I thought about squirming away, but I couldn't. We both need some human contact. Was it so wrong for us to seek it out? To enjoy it? I pushed back against him and closed my eyes. When I woke up, he had already slipped away. I'm too nervous to ask what he thought of it. Day 56. So I did something stupid today. Or, I don't know. It's hard to say. He came running into our camp carrying a giant fish. The thing the length of his arm, easily. His enthusiasm was infectious and I rushed to him and was so amazed. I wrapped my arms around his and I kissed him. It was just a celebration. Or for good luck, like in the movies or whatever. I mean, that's all I meant by it. Didn't stop my heart from racing, though. He blushed again and smiled, and he looked like a schoolboy when he did that. I let him go, and he bashfully said he'd go clean it so he could eat. Day 60. We've now been on the island for 2 months. It's a lot easier than it was at first, I can't deny that. I'm often busy with chores or doing what I can to make our lives more comfortable or easier. He's always thinking up new ways to make things better for us. I really love that about him. I mean, it's a great quality of his. 2 days ago, we had another big rainstorm and he declared that we deserve something better. Today, he's building us a new home. The first place we slept, we charitably called a shelter. It was mostly a leafy roof so we could keep the sun and rain off of us. Then we built what I called our permanent tent. It was sturdier and had a proper floor that kept us off the ground. What he's building for us now, it's like a hut. I swear, he's told me his plans and it's like, well, like something you see in a primitive village. He really is incredibly resourceful. I help however I can, and he's always so appreciative, even when I'm just bringing him water. He's an incredible provider. I'm not sure I would even be alive still at this point without him. Physically, mentally, or emotionally. I hope I'm doing enough. My fair share, you know. We keep the signal fire going, but I'm not sure we think about being rescued much anymore. Day 64. I went for a bath in the pool. When I came back to our camp, I brushed out my hair. I made myself a brush. I know. I mean, when I put my mind to it, it wasn't that hard. My hair is so long now, or it seems like it to me. I thought about trimming it, but I sort of like it. Not to mention, the island seems short on barbers. When I finished, I braided my hair. On the sides of the stream flowing from the pool grow these gorgeous orange-yellow flowers. They remind me a bit of the big orange lilies that my parents grew. I picked one and wove it into my hair and put on a clean dress before we had dinner. Made quite the impression on my fellow castaway. He stared and said that I looked beautiful. It was my turn to blush then. Day 70. We finished the hut and it's amazing. It's incredible what we've been able to do with just the material we have gathered from the island. It's on stilts, so it stays dry if it rains or floods. There is a fire pit and good ventilation so it doesn't get smoky. The thatched roof stays way drier than the others we've made. It's perfect. He took me in today to show me his handiwork. It was cool inside and dim, but it was cozy. He said the inside wasn't done yet. He said he had plans to put in a second bed so we each had our own. I stepped closer to him and touched his arm. I told him we didn't need two beds. I've woken up in his arms so often, I didn't want to go without it. I said, I want us to share a bed. Things got tense as we faced each other. I reached up and I put my hand on the back of his neck and he knew what I wanted, but as always, he was reserved. But I wanted him to so badly. I didn't want him to have any doubts, so I pulled him in for a real kiss. It was as powerful as one of those island storms. I pulled him further onto our new bed, our sleeping pallet. We were naked before we knew it and he was inside me. God, he was inside me. I didn't realize how much I wanted that until I felt my body shudder at his penetration. We clung to each other, desperate to fill what we both longed for so much, until the final explosive climax. We stayed in the hut together, holding each other naked until we fell asleep. Day 74. The morning after, I could tell he was feeling nervous. He confessed later that he wondered if I thought it was a mistake. When I saw his shy eyes the next morning, I pressed my body to him and kissed him. I'm proud to say that he warmed up to my reassurance quickly. We made love again that morning and everything felt less rushed, but no less passionate. We stared into each other's eyes and it felt like making love. The last few days have been amazing. As long as we've been stuck here, we're still both finding happiness. He's acting differently now. He brings me presents, flowers, and treats. He compliments me. Today he came back at midday, which isn't odd, but He took my hand and quietly led me into our hut and fucked me hard. He smelled like the sea and his sweat. I wanted to explode. I wrapped my legs around him to keep him deep in me. I love both sides of him. That sweet, gentle side and that strong, manly side. In and out of bed. I compliment him too. And I find my hands touching him all the time now. He laughs, or more a deep chuckle when he notices. He's asleep beside me now. We were just going to bed, but I stroked him hard and he took me from behind. It was perfect. It's just us in the jungle. Day 88. Today we told each other we loved each other. He told me he'd felt that way for a while, and I admitted I've been denying how I felt. I wonder how long I felt this way about him. We took a grass mat that I wove and went out on the beach. We laid under the stars and our constellations and made love to the sounds of the crashing waves. The sky was on fire with stars. We stayed there until a crab pinched his foot, and we ran back to the hut laughing. Day 90. I've felt really crummy lately. Just tired, and sometimes I've gotten sick. That's really all. Day 94. He and I went for a swim and a bath at the pool together. Now that we're together, we don't have to pretend to be modest. It is so nice to wash his body. He washed mine and it felt so good. That's when he brought it up. I think I know what's making you sick. His hand rested over my belly button. I waited for him to say something, but then I put it together for myself, of course. I'm pregnant. My period has been fucked since the crash, obviously. The stress, the poor nutrition at first. But I guess we were eating better and doing better and, well, spent a lot of time in bed. A lot. We have a lot fewer boring hours now. When it clicked, he pulled my hair aside and kissed my neck. He wanted this. I was scared, but I don't know. I was scared after the crash and every moment after until he came along. I can't help but feel that he will take care of us like he always has. Day 110. So, my man took me down to the doctor's and she ran a blood test. So much more reliable than home testing kits. Ha! If only life were that simple. He and I are just waiting. Pulling our shared knowledge of pregnancy from family and friends. He doesn't have kids, and neither do I. What I wouldn't do for a search engine. We've made more Blue Lagoon jokes than neither of us are proud of, but at least we're not siblings. Brooke Shields and that blonde guy were sister and brother, right? No period and still some morning sickness. My nose is super sharp, though. It makes the island feel even more alive. Day 131. How no woman snatched up my man before this, I'll never understand. He is my man now. Thinking about him that way makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. He's doing everything he can. Every day when he brings home something he catches or harvests, I know it's for me and the baby. If there is a baby. My body's telling me yes. Day 147. My stomach feels so much better now. It's a real blessing, to say the least. We also have a nice proof that he knocked me up. A little baby bump is very obviously forming. I find my hand going there all the time. His goes there too, and it feels indescribable. I've never loved anyone like I love him. I'm sure I'd feel the same if we met back home. Now that I'm feeling better, I show my appreciation quite often, which we both enjoy. I love when he takes me. when he comes into the hut and makes me his. I also love teasing him until he's all nervous and stammery and I take what I want. It makes me shudder just thinking about it. I hope he comes home for lunch again today. Day 182. He started calling the baby our little coconut, since that's how big I am now. I hate it, but I love it too. I feel so in tune with my body, and I feel so connected to him now that his child is growing in me. It's incredible. I've never felt so womanly in my life. Day 214. I remember a relative complaining about being pregnant in the summer. I'd like her to have seen me in this tropical weather. However, if my math is anywhere close to right, I'm about halfway through. The little moves and flutters in my tummy make me so happy. He tells me he can't wait to feel the kicks. Most of the time when he falls asleep behind me, his hand rests over a little coconut. He's our protector. My heart dances when he does it in his sleep. He's a natural, and it makes all of this way less scary. Day 270. Pregnancy hormones are no joke. None at all. I'm not talking about crying. I've done that a few times, though. I'm talking about need. Today I went to the beach and found him. He wrapped his arms around me and kissed me, and I dropped to my knees and I took him out. He groaned and ran his fingers through my hair. He loves my hair. He told me he noticed it on the plane. Can you imagine? I begged him to fuck me, and he took me and led me into the water and speared himself into me. His arms, strong from the work that supports all three of us, hoisted me onto him. He fucked me so good. God, writing about this is making me ache for more. And it's a good thing my man is always eager to take care of me. Day 300. For the special day, he surprised me with a crib for our baby. I cried so much. It was so embarrassing. But he held me. Our baby will have a home here. Our hut is ready, and we're as ready as we can be. Day 354. 354 days ago, a plane crashed on this island. This beautiful tropical paradise. Two survivors were complete strangers in every way. Today, there are three people on this island. Our little coconut is sleeping in a crib made by his father. He has daddy's hair. He stored up enough food so he could spend all the time at home with us as I recovered. I love him so much. Day 365. It's been a year. A full year. I read through my whole diary again today. So many entries, so many little details. On that first day, I began it by looking for someone, anyone, so I wouldn't be alone. I never would have guessed I would find the person I've been looking for my whole life. Day 375. We're standing on the beach. A boat is approaching from a ship that spotted our signal fires. It's a mixed feeling in my stomach, a lot of unknowns. I hold our baby close as my protector and lover holds me. Of course, I want to return to civilization and give our son the best possible life we can. Can't grow up on this little island. It's too dangerous and not practical or a real future for him. Still, waiting on this boat, I look around us. This places become dear to me. Our paradise. It's changed us forever. It's made us a family. I hope we come back here someday. If we survived here, we can tackle the real world no problem. So long as we're together.